All right. We are going to jump right in, Ricardo. Are you ready?
I am, my friend.
Because I'm excited. We do have the Pistons presser. Very excited to hear that later on. Probably closer to 4 o'clock than 3:30. No problem. We will lead you right into it. We're going to hear from Mr. Gore, as Dwayne Casey said. And Trajan Langdon, we find out if he's an actual human and not a ChatGPT character. This is exciting. But we got to start with something else. Steve Yzerman.
Oh, yeah.
Have to. Comments galore today.
Yeah, I guess today was a day for everybody in Detroit to air their grievances and talk to the people.
I'm actually sitting in the world headquarters right now.
We know he ain't talking. I want to go down the list because here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
You and I think, are going to be on one side of this. Kenny's going to be on another. And this is the equivalent of I've brought two folding chairs. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put the two chairs in the lawn and you and I are going to sit in them. And we're going to watch the world burn from a good safe distance because I have a feeling Red Wing fans are going to get after each other. So Steve Yzerman had a lot to say. I can play the audio. I can read the script. And then I'm going to give you what my Google translator says. So, David, from the top, how do you want to do this? Is there an order you want to go in?
Let's talk about the number 15th pick. I have some audio here for you.
Start with the upcoming NHL draft at the Sphere. Wings picking 15th. I've said to you guys, I would never use the pick. I have no need to draft another teenager and see you in 5 years. I would hawk the pick to get better. Okay. Right. Here's what Yzerman had to say.
I'm not in a big hurry to be trading our in particular, our first round selection or our first round pick. I would be open to it, but I want to do that. You know, we traded a first round pick actually in this year's draft for Alex DeBrincat last summer. It turned out to be a late first that Ottawa has. So I'm not afraid of doing that, but I don't anticipate at this stage us making a trade for a player that would involve the 15th pick. Moving up or down, you know, we look at the teams that are around us. We contact them to in advance just to say what's your level of interest in moving up or moving down, and we all kind of say the same thing. We'll just say, we'll see how it plays out on the floor. And
okay, so I'm reserving all comment. That's on the 15th pick. Mm-hmm. David, what do you have on the goaltending front? I mean, Kenny wants a goalie. Your mom wants a goalie. Detroit wants a goalie. Okay, then this is why I asked. I didn't want to ambush you. Let me give you what was said. I'll read it to you. Regarding the team. Oh, boy. Hold on. I do apologize. I have to scroll through 7 million things Rieger sent me. Yzerman on the goalie situation. It indicates that the team wants a number 3 in the event of an injury to Husso or Lyon. Doesn't necessarily think it means carrying 3 in the NHL, noting complications of practices, etc. Yeah. Plan is for Kosa to be an even bigger role at GR, Grand Rapids, next season. Okay, so right off the rip, just sounds like you're going to war with Husso and Lyon.
Yeah, said that he does not envision 3 goalies on the roster.
Okay, but wait, there's more. So we have the viewpoint on the draft pick. We have the addressing of the goalie situation. David, do we have Patrick Kane on it?
Yes, we do.
So where does it stand with Patrick Kane? David?
I've talked with Pat Brisson, who represents Patrick. We've talked, again, with all of our free agents, not just Patrick, and explain my situation and have a feel for what they're thinking of. And we just have pretty much all agreed, let's stay in touch. And this is a busy week, not just a busy week for the draft, but a busy week trying to see if we can't put some of these pieces in place.
Okay. Now, we'll keep in touch is basically what that is. So I'll offer you how my Google Translator works, and then we're going to go to our very own Pierre LeBrun, Kenny Cott, and just get a sense. And I want to see where people are, because all I can do is take Yzerman right here, right now. I can't predict the future. I can only go by what he says. Is he lying? Is he telling the truth? Well, I hope he's lying. Because if he's not, here's what my Google Translator says. We're not going to get Nagoli. I haven't gotten either Sider or Raymond signed yet. I haven't secured Patrick Kane, and he's going to the wilderness into free agency. And basically, if he doesn't get any good offers, maybe I got a shot.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
The number 15 pick, I don't see any blockbuster moves with that. So we'll take another player you might see in 2028.
Yeah, he said, yeah, as far as he said, he didn't think at this point he could have been being coy, but he didn't expect anything getting done before July 1st at this point with either Raymond or Sider.
Okay, so that's how I look at things. Doesn't mean it, make it right. And he could be lying through his teeth. But if he's not, I really don't see the point in what we're doing here. But Kenny, I want your feedback. You are not a bot. You're a well-reasoned man. You do have a soft spot for Yzerman, who doesn't. But I wanted your takeaways from this. You seemed very arrogant when I walked in the door today. Oh, it's going to be overreaction theater. People's pets' heads are falling off. No.
Fire Steve Yzerman.
Now that's an overreaction. What is your... You hate that drop. What is your takeaway from all of Iserman's comments today?
So I think your ChatGPT device may be a little broken or malfunctioning. Oftentimes when he speaks, he says nothing. That's what I kind of viewed this as. Primarily, I know David, he's going to make me mad today, and that's fine. The way I look at it is, with the goaltending stuff, I view that as an outright lie. With the Sider and Raymond thing, that's not atypical for stars not to be signed by, you know, the first of the next month. That's not atypical, so I'm not worried about
it. Can we go back? Why is the goaltending stuff a lie?
Because I think he will do his due diligence. And by the way, if you want confirmation that the man openly lies to you, he has done it in the past. I think a month before he brought in DeBrincat, he said, "We're not going to make a move like that." And then he went and made a move like that. He made that exact move. This isn't something that he doesn't do. He's not above lying right to your face.
Okay.
And I think that's more of a non-factor than you do.
So the goalie thing, you don't think this is, hey, we're just going to wait for Kosa 2026?
I think there's some of that in there for sure. But if you look at it, I think there's a couple of goaltending, not free agents, but pending free agents that you could trade for. There's like Linus Hallmark, for example. I don't think Boston wants to carry two great goalies.
Swayman's a stud.
They're going to hang on to him. But I think... He also said later on in that presser that I'm going to look through trade options. I'm going to look through free agency. He didn't just say, I'm giving up. I'm throwing my hands in the air and giving up.
No, he didn't say that.
It didn't sound like he was giving up. It just sounded as if, you know what? I'm okay with what I have right now. I think there's a future here. Maybe not right now, but there's a future.
I also think that if you were to outright say, yeah, we're hunting the trade markets and we're desperate and all this stuff, all of his leverage would have been gone in this market. He wants to sound like, oh, you know, we might be fine. We'll do what we have to do. Yeah, he was very ho-hum, just like he always is with this stuff. And he's lying to your face half the time. And we've seen him lie to your face half the time.
Let me give you another comment. And I want your thoughts, Kenny. Yzerman acknowledging expectations will be higher next year, though he says of free agency, we're trying to build a team that's not just going to make the playoffs one year and maybe not the next. They're going to try to, quote, be selective. Can I ask just a question? Aren't you tired of hearing that, whether it's the Tigers or the Red Wings, the quote, we're building something for long-term success, when the CBAs of these sports don't really allow for that?
I am tired of hearing that, but also I wish there was something that he would have said. I wish he would have said, not making the playoffs last year was a failure.
Yes.
I was disappointed by not making the playoffs last year.
Unacceptable.
If he would have come out and said anything to that effect, I don't think we're talking about any of this. And I just think half of it was lies and half of it was the ho-hum nature of
Steve Yzerman. But can you meet me in the middle before David's head explodes? Meet me in the middle. If these aren't lies... And Kane's walking out the door. They're just going to sit there and take somebody at 15 that we won't see for 4 years. They're not going to get a goalie. And we're in the eternal wait for Kosa. And if it's not him, wait for Augustine. Kenny, would you at least agree with me if he's not lying? That doesn't work.
If your ChatGPT is correct, Mike, I hate this offseason, okay, and I'm very upset with him, all right?
If he's not lying.
If all of this turns out to be exactly what you're describing, I would call this offseason an absolute failure.
Okay, so here's what I'd like to do. Okay. People, hockey elite, we can put the bat signal out there. It probably doesn't work in daylight hours, but work with me. 248-539-9797. Is Iserman lying? What is your takeaway from the comments? If he's not lying, are you as disturbed as we would be if that's how the offseason actually plays out? Because I will tell you the part that Kenny and I, Rico, are in total agreement on. Mm-hmm. Steve Iserman has the cachet to go out. You don't need to be tepid about it. Last year, that collapse, totally unacceptable. Not making the playoffs was unacceptable. Yeah. And we must make the playoffs this season,
right?
Period. Like that, well, I would like to hear that.
Well, does this qualify for something in that area? We're not trying to build a team that's just going to make the playoffs one year and maybe not the next year. They're trying to be selective in free agency and addressing needs.
That's a part of the long-term success thing that both the Tigers and Red Wings have used. It's almost like they went to Kinko's and picked up like corporate business cards, and it says that.
Maybe they walked past each other in the headquarters.
Probably. 248-539-9797. What do you make of the Iserman kickoff to the offseason comments? And if there was one of those that he's not lying about that bothers you the most, what is it? Is it running it back with Husso and Lyon? Is it not being aggressive with the number 15 pick? Is it Kane walking out the door? What is it? By the way, the salary cap did go up and by a little bit more than expected. That should help the Wings, who are already in a decent cap situation, even though they have to pay their two young burgeoning stars.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to know. Kenny, of those, if he's not lying, which one bothers you the most?
The goaltending, probably. I think the 15th pick, the value of that might not be as high as you might hope it to be, but goaltending is like gold in this league right now. And if I don't see a report this offseason that, hey, he was interested in X goalie or Y goalie or Laurent Brossoit like I wanted or Linus Ullmark like you might want, if I don't get that report, I'm pissed.
Well, here's the other thing. The idea of having a great young goalie is a wonderful idea, but the bust rate of young goalies is immense. And second of all, it's turned into a two-goaltender league. The really good teams have two goalies.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of having Ullmark and Kosa at one point and having their, you know, having the ships pass in the night, that's not a bad thing. Because I find it very hard to believe that Kosa will just come up and start 70 games. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And having two goalies allows you options. Mm-hmm. Look what the Islanders have done the last couple of years. I mean, Kenny, I'm not trying to be provocative. I'm saying it's a real life example of my team is kind of average. But having options at goalie has really helped them make runs to the Eastern Conference Finals, be within a period of the Stanley Cup Final. It helped them.
And you're proving my point. That's exactly why I say out of all the options on the table, that's the one that would piss me off the most.
No, because ironically, just like their bunkmate, the Tigers, five is the magical number. When they scored more than five goals, they would win the game.
It's like the Tigers not getting a bat. It's right. Exactly the same thing.
Okay. Tigers, David, yeah. We're going to get to you in a moment because you were seething that entire segment. We'll get to you. Hockey Elite if you want it. 248-539-9797. We're a little over an hour away from the Pistons. You'll get Tom Gores. You will get Trajan Langdon. I'm very interested to see. Listen, if you will, what the hell we are offered from an organization that, oh boy.
Think we'll get a head coach announcement?
No.
Okay.
That's Steve Iserman today. And before we go to David, I think that's the one problem I have with all this, is eventually you have to push the button. I don't think you can just take all day. Now, you're 5 years into this. I'm sorry, but I don't know when is that magical day far away? Is it year 7, 8, 10? You know, when exactly do you just put the pedal down? You know, the farm system has been built up enough to where options are there. You know, you got a couple of stars, one on the blue line with Seider, one with Lucas Raymond. You have a team captain in Dylan Larkin. You got to push the button, and it's time. Like, I don't understand how you can keep asking people to care and asking for people's money. And it's always this rainbow bridge that someday, you know, we want to build the no. Don't ask me to do any of this now. We want to build this for later. Well, when will then be now? Soon. Like, I feel like a lot of people agree with me is they're tired. And this was the...
They are, Mike, because
the best shot to make the playoffs,
yeah.
Because the bottom of the East was so bad.
But so long as you keep kicking the can, the expectations aren't there. It's always next year. You know, we're close. We're close. We're almost there. That's what teams can peddle to the fans when they know, yeah, we're nowhere near ready to win a cup or to win a championship. That you show them next season, and it's so close, and we're almost there. We're a few pieces away. We just got to get this one free agent or make this one signing. And most people will buy that.
That's fine. They can buy whatever they want. I mean, it's like, again, if they make the playoffs next year and get aced out in the first round, I'm not happy. The year to make the playoffs was this year. Making it next year without a meaningful, you know, winning a playoff series, I don't think it's acceptable in year six to be a fringe playoff team. And if you enter the playoffs and get blistered, that's fringe.
So this year they could have got swept.
Absolutely.
And you would have been okay.
Absolutely. But to clown car their way over the last 6 weeks of the season, miss the playoffs, have a dog bleep team like Washington get in, have Washington beat you because hashtag you got goal lead. Like, I just, it's problematic.
Which I was also surprised that nobody asked about the job security of Derek Lalonde throughout the season, because that was an awful stretch and it did ultimately define your season. I put a lot of that on coaching. I know a lot of Wings fans put
And Yzerman himself made the comment, Kenny, about how it's about the fundamentals. That strikes directly at the coaching staff.
100%, which is why I feel like that should have been addressed at some point. That's okay. Just me, though. That's my gripe.
Now, hold on. You got to answer for David, then we'll get the ticket text. David, go ahead. You were very upset pre-show.
Mike, you are my brother from another mother, because you just said so eloquently how I feel.
Oh, I thought it was because we were both dark and beautiful. Okay, my apologies.
Why are we constantly patient in this town with Steve Yzerman? He can say whatever he wants and just say, well, you know, I'm just taking my time. I want to make sure I do this right, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And it's people like Kenny in the Red Wing community that allow Steve Yzerman to have that kind of leeway. Because I love you, Kenny, but your comment of, well, if he doesn't do this, and if he ends up not doing something with the goalie or not doing this, then I'll be upset. No. You should be putting pressure on Steve Yzerman right now before he can make those mistakes, before he can not get a goalie, before he can not bring in someone here. You have to put pressure on him now. I am sick and tired of waiting 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years in this town
Win
anything.
Well, it's been five.
With him.
I'm saying with him, five.
This is going into year six.
I want to be fair so the bots don't come after
you. We have to put pressure on Steve Y. It's your fault, Kenny, and people like you.
I believe David just dropped to those people. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Okay, David chose violence on a floral Friday. 248-539-9797. David, the ticket text while Kenny screens a couple of calls.
Hey, guys, this sustainable building model that all Detroit franchises subscribe to is stupid, and nobody is asking for this. We want winners now. I think you wake up wondering how to complain about the Red Wings or anything for that matter. You all need to calm down.
Okay, time out. Let's examine that for a minute. So the city's in its longest championship drought in history.
Mm-hmm.
16 years, and let's face it, make it 17. The basketball team that's going to have a press conference has not won a singular playoff game since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
The Detroit Red Wings, under Steve Yzerman, have not made the playoffs and finished last season collapsing to miss it.
Yep.
The Detroit Baseball Tigers have not made the playoffs in a decade,
mm-hmm,
and are right now careening off a cliff. What would your radio show be? Would tell me, what would your show feature today?
Let me help you with that. The people who send text messages like that and people who believe, guys, you guys are being negative, we're close, they saw their patience have a payoff last year with the Lions, where it was, oh my God, every year we go through this. And then all of a sudden, the Lions broke through. They won. They won multiple playoff games. They were one of the best teams in the NFL. So as a fan, you saw your patience have a payoff. I think because of that payoff, a lot of Detroiters are going to say, you know what? We spent decades waiting for the Lions. This is just a few years with these other teams. Mike, I'm not saying that's you.
I'm just saying everything.
For people like that, because you saw something tangible, you're willing to, if your general manager is saying, hey, we're close. Okay, well, they wouldn't lie to me. We must be really close. So that's why you have some people like that.
David, go ahead. Or Kenny, please.
I would like to address David basically calling me a bitch.
Jeez, come on, man.
So I thought he called you like a bleach bot. Never mind.
You know, it kind of feels that way, Rico, after that comment. But the way I look at it is I'm not going to get mad at these comments by Steve Yzerman. David wants me to freak out.
No, you're going to wait let it play out, dare I say?
This offseason, yeah, I'll let it play out.
But
why?
At the end of the summer, if these comments are the truth, you've already said you will be very upset.
Hellfire and brimstone.
Okay, then I'm 100%.
David wants it from me now, but the reason why I take issue with that is because he's lied to us before. He basically has lied to us almost every single
year.
Can
I state for the record, I haven't raised my voice. I'm not angry. I'm saying, okay, hope he's lying. Because if he's not, I don't understand this. That's all I've said.
I think at the end of all this, we'll all be in agreement. I think at the end of this offseason, we'll all have the same opinion. And that's, this was a good offseason, or he did nothing, and I'm very, very upset.
I like that. It's a this or that offseason.
Yeah. It has to be, though.
I don't like the murky.
It has to be, because once you're in that gray area, like we've been with the Tigers and with the Wings for the past several years, we just get frustrated. We have these conversations, and they never go anywhere because nothing is happening.
Am I a bad person because I kind of want to see angry Kenny?
Yeah, because we want the Wings to make the playoffs.
I know, but I'm going to be this way, and I kind of want
Angry
to see.
Kenny gets closer and closer to that drop that I never said, by the way.
No, okay.
We're never going to get Angry Kenny.
Oh, shucks.
He's going to make another excuse for Steve Yzerman when the moves don't happen.
Oh, hold on. No, we have evidence of Kenny on the record right now saying that won't be the case. So we're all witness. And we will let it play.
Put it in the system, David, and play it for me. Play it for me when I'm lying.
And again, David, here's the key. It's going to happen in real time.
Yes.
Like if Kane leaves and they don't have a legitimate replacement, okay, that's check one.
Yeah, that Kane thing was very, well, we're going to date other people and kind of see what happens and then circle back.
If they don't acquire a goalie.
And I thought that felt like more due diligence. Like, hey, we'll stay in contact with him. We're not done with this.
Well, that might be you being an apologist.
Kenny, I don't know.
Kenny, it really felt like we're going to see other people, but we're still together, seeing other people.
It's either I'm an apologist or you guys are alarmists, but that's
no,
fine.
No, I'm neither. You don't get to paint me with that brush, Bob Ross.
I'm more looking at Rico than
you. Thank you.
I'm not being an alarmist. I read that. I was like, oh, that was weird.
I'm good. I just wanted to establish he's on the record with what he said today, and each of these is going, it will answer itself in the coming days and weeks. If they go to the draft and pick 15 is Bobby Fiddlerberg and we'll see him in 2029, that's a check. If they don't get a goalie and it's, hey, Pray Kosa is the next Patrick Waugh, and maybe we see him by St. Paddy's Day. I don't know. A little scary to enter another season with oft-injured Huso and then Lyon, who can't play too much or his body breaks down. That's a problem. And then obviously the Kane thing. I am going to wait. I'm with Kenny, but I hope he's lying. 248-539-9797. We'll get some calls. I also, just a brief note, because I know we're going to turn our attention to the Pistons press conference. I have a Stanley Cup final question for Kenny and you guys with tonight's game. I know no one's going to watch, but they should. We'll discuss. Just bear with me. All right, we'll get to the people. I got a Stanley Cup finals question. Game 6 tonight. Is it must-see TV? I feel like it is, but maybe I'm a goofball. We'll turn our attention to the Pistons. They got their press conference coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, sometime before 4. A lot to do today.
I think as far as your game 6 tonight, because it's funny because you would think that the pressure would be on Edmonton, but I don't think that it is.
They're favored tonight, by the way. If you care about any of that, they're minus 150.
Because Florida is gripping because they don't want game 7 at home after having such the 3-0 lead. And it's like, are we really about to lose this thing? They don't want to be that team. And they thought that they were going to finish it off. Kind of like your Celtics, they're going to finish it off in game 5, except things happen.
Now, the question I had for Kenny, and we can get to it, is just the Connor McDavid issue. Obviously, hard to win the MVP when you lose. I think this is a rare time. If they win tonight but end up losing in 7, I mean, he's just – Kenny, do you feel like he's already elevated himself, even without a Stanley Cup, into the conversation with the – the all-time greats, or is the Stanley Cup just, it's got to happen, and it's heresy to just even talk about it?
I don't think it's heresy to talk about. I don't know that I would give it to him. I think if he plays well and they lose tonight, I think he has it. He's putting up record-setting, like Gretzky numbers.
Greatest right postseason ever is what he's on track for. Single point tonight, right?
I think two.
Two.
Okay. I think two ties it. But whatever it is, it's right there on greatest of all time level. And do you know when the last time this happened, when a player lost and won the Conn Smythe?
Let me think for a second.
Because it led to one of the funnier things looking back on it in the history of the league, in my opinion.
Losing Stanley Cup final, but you were still the MVP.
It was in my lifetime. So you're not guessing like 1957.
No, yeah, I'm like, oh, last time the Leafs won anything. No, who?
It was J.S. Jaguar on the Ducks in, I think, 03.
Wow.
Against the Devils.
There's a Red Wings nightmare fuel goalie.
He swept us in the first round, I believe. And it led to the funniest thing. It's a picture of him holding the trophy with, like, tears coming down his face while the Devils are over there celebrating their cup win. He's like, I don't want this piece of metal.
The meme before the meme.
The participation trophy.
Right, he was the meme before a meme was.
100%. But yeah, I think Connor definitely is in that conversation. He could win it if they lose tonight.
Yeah, and again, it's a Friday night. I don't know the wisdom in putting a finals game on a Friday night. Didn't understand when the NBA did it last week. Don't like that they waited.
Should've and if been. There's a game seven, it's not over the weekend. It's going to be Monday.
Exactly. So, like, for me, game seven should have been Sunday afternoon matinee television.
Because, see, I thought for the NBA, they set it up for game seven to be either this Saturday or Sunday. Like, if they would have played in Boston, if Boston would have lost, it would have went Thursday and then Sunday.
There's a hell of a gap, though, for these two teams. And yeah. I know distance is a bit of a problem here. That's a long flight.
It's the largest distance, I believe, in Stanley Cup history.
Yeah.
Between cities. Okay.
Let's go to Josh.
And guy for private flights.
Josh, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jets. How we doing? Good Friday afternoon.
Same to you, buddy. What's on your mind?
It's been a while. It's been a while since we talked, Mike. Last time, I think, was Stafford's deal in Detroit, and you shut me down talking hockey. So I heard you were talking it. Wanted to get my 2 cents here in on the Wings.
Let's do it.
Honestly, I agree with if we don't do anything as patient as we've been with Yzerman, we got to get better at goalie. I think this past season the East was weak, but we went in knowing that we had holes at goaltender, so if we would have made the playoffs, I think it would have just been sprinkles on kind of a melting Sunday. But when we look at the future of the NHL, we can't put all the eggs in the young goaltender basket. I've heard us poking at Gibson. I think we need a two-headed beast going into just this modern NHL era. And I think we gotta start holding Yzerman accountable for some of these other lesser performers, like, you know, Kopp, man. I thought he was going to be a top six guy for us, and He fills a role, but I don't think it's big enough for the contract we're paying him. You know what I mean?
No, Josh, I'm with you. I know Kenny's with you, and we're hoping that what he said today is not true. Because, again, we can all be excited about Kosa and even further down the line, maybe Augustine, the kid for State. But we're in the here and now. Right, it's year six, and Lyon and Huso are not good enough to be a playoff team.
Yeah, and where's Burgers at? Why isn't he getting time up? Right? Where's, you know, the big bodies? Where's Soderbaum? You know, where are these guys that have just been, we keep winning and doing well in the AHL, and that's great. But, you know, it's kind of like you guys just talked about the Gerber baby winning the MVP, you know, when this team didn't win the cup. What's winning the AHL, you know, cup if we're still not even making the playoffs at the NHL level?
Yeah, they're in a weird space, Josh. I'm with you. They're just in a very weird spot where, yes, the incremental improvement is nice, but it hasn't yielded us anything. And you can't call the end of last season anything other than a collapse. So this summer, you know, Kenny, not me, Kenny has said this is a fork in the road summer for Yzerman and the Yzer plan and the rebuild. I don't think it's good to just get incrementally better and creep in. Here's the New Yorker in me. I want the Wings to be the team that takes a real step forward, and they're not a wild card.
You want them to kick the door down.
I want them to be a legitimate playoff team. Let all the poors battle for the last spot. I want the Wings in the top three in the division, and I want them to be a legitimate playoff team. Is that so wrong?
No, absolutely not. This offseason has to be handled very carefully because you have to balance, all right, we're bringing up all these young guys. We must supplement that with veteran talent. If you can do that, that's very hard to do. This might be the hardest part of the rebuild for most GMs. And if Steve Yzerman is as sweet as he's been billed to be, you better get it right.
What about Saufenstein?
And you know what, Kenny? I do agree with you. It would have been nice if somebody would. So your coaching situation, is this the guy? Is this going to be the guy that leads your team? Or, you know, were you like, what was your thought process during the season?
I think it's blatantly obvious if they get off to a slow start, Newsy's gone.
Which then says, just how about you just,
well.
Well, what does that say about Yzerman?
Oh, boy.
I'm not trying to be funny here, but if you're now then firing another coach.
David, the only thing I'll say is, and Kenny pointed this out, it's a hockey thing where they fire the coach.
That is very true.
And then all of a sudden, team goes red hot.
Right.
Same players.
Yeah. Six teams this year, I think, made the playoffs while firing their coach in season.
Yeah.
It's just a weird hockey thing. I don't know. David, a few ticket texts. We'll turn our attention to football and then kind of a countdown to Pistons press conference. You get to hear from Gores and Trajan Langdon. I'm eager to see what we get today. Go ahead.
Tom in Traverse City says, Yzerman and Harris want time to build something lasting. Okay, fair enough. Let us know when you're ready and we'll start watching again.
Yeah, you know what? That's okay. Both things can be true. You can have all the time you want, but I think it's, unless the games are discounted or free, I really don't know how you keep asking people for money.
By the time the Wings get their team together, they won't be able to give second contracts to their cornerstone pieces. That is from Keith.
I don't want to go that far, but I'll tell you, your spending is going to greatly decrease once you give each a Sider and Raymond an 8x8. I mean, that's kind of the going rate, Kenny, right?
Yeah, especially for Sider, because of position of need. I mean, finding a quality defenseman is so hard to do. So, yeah, he's going to get paid.
Right, and it will limit some of your spending. And, yes, you do have some young players that don't make a lot. And, yes, some deals will fall off. But the reality is you had a couple of your best players dirt cheap for several years. You didn't make the playoffs once. That's problematic.
And now, this was the time to do it, when they were young and cheap. Then you can add, because you have all this cap room, he didn't do that.
No. No, and look, big summer ahead. We hope for the best. I hope he was lying.
So we're going pro here, and what I'm going to do here is SI came out with 100 bold predictions for the 2024 season. So every other day, I'll go through a few of these here to figure out what you all think about them. We'll start with this one. There will be 7 head coaching vacancies at the end of the season, but what they say about it is it may not be the teams you think. Because you have Bill Belichick out there, Mike Vrabel out there, mm-hmm. and maybe teams that are competitive that fire their coach.
I think both New York teams will have new coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I think Salah and Daboll are on thin ice at best. I think Dallas could have an opening.
I also got to think, I don't know how long Andy Reid is going to be in Kansas City. If they go and win it again, is enough enough? I'm just going
to
go out into the sunset. So that's another team. And I think everybody will line up. If the Chiefs are there with Mahomes under contract, that becomes the best job around. But, yeah, David, I could easily see if you're a mediocre team, a team just you made the playoffs but you struggled or you lost some disappointing style with those big names out there, yeah, I could easily see that.
Next one, Jaden Daniels will win the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
No. No, I still think it's Caleb. Look, I'll die on the sword. It's fine. I think Bear's going to be better than people here think. And I think Caleb's entering a really good situation. They've got a ton of weapons. Let's just assume USC was a total joke. The O-line was a joke, and the defense put him in horrible spots. I'll still go Caleb Williams.
See, I'm thinking that I don't think any of the quarterbacks are really going to stand out the way C.J. Stroud did last year. I think it's going to be one of the receivers because they're going to be that main guy on their teams.
Adunze, yeah.
Right. So, like, no matter where you are, it's like, okay, they're going to be throwing you the ball. I think one of those receivers will end up becoming the offensive player of the year because I don't think that the quarterbacks, they're all kind of the same. I don't think that there's one that's like, yeah, he's all that.
Okay, then, Mike, well, you say Caleb Williams. Well, does this get him Rookie of the Year? Their prediction, he will throw the same number of touchdown passes as a former rookie that wore 18, which is Peyton Manning. He threw 26 touchdowns his rookie season.
Yeah, I also think it's about the team. Look, if the Bears finish a surprising 9-8, are not in the basement of the NFC North, actually get a couple of nice wins that America sees, and he throws for 26, 27, 28 TDs. Yes, David. Because remember, part of this is bias. Mm-hmm. Like, people see highlights. Like, if Caleb makes a few of those wild, you know, Mahomesian-type plays, that goes a long way. Yes, David. Short answer, yes. But you got to win some games now, too. You can't go 3-14 and win it.
Yeah, I mean, because they're set up that the Bears have some winnable games to start the season off. Tennessee, the Colts, and the Panthers, all within the first 5 weeks, they go 3-2. I think that means a lot for his confidence, especially getting the Panthers. Come on, man. That's at home. That's a confidence booster right there.
The Houston Texans will not increase their win total, which was 10 from 2023, and they will miss the playoffs.
The Texans?
Texans,
yeah. I just disagree completely. That's the short answer for me. I get it. It's a bold predictions thing.
Based off their schedule. They have a tough schedule.
Yeah, you know what? Every schedule's tough. It's the NFL. I couldn't disagree.
You know what? Mike, there you go.
You're right.
Every schedule is tough. This isn't college where you're playing Little Sisters of the Poor. Huh. But they also got better in the offseason as well. So it's not like they just sat back and said, we're good enough and we don't need to make improvements. They did. They went out and picked up some players. David, no, I think that they will end up winning their division again.
Deshaun Watson will throw for 32 touchdowns, run for another 10, and the Browns will fight for the number one seed in the AFC.
I'm out. You know, I've waited long enough for Deshaun Watson. I'm out. I don't see funny. Those numbers.
No, I was going to say, this is it. This is the year. You had the whole, well, there was rust. Okay, well, maybe you're not quite ready.
Now
this
his shoulders hurt. Right.
If you don't make it this year and do something, numbers similar to that, we'll just go ahead and say that the Cleveland Browns signed the worst contract ever in NFL history, and you got to live with that. Because, yeah, because the defense is good enough. If he could even put up, David, I was going to say, if he.
All right, we'll get to the people. I got a Stanley Cup Finals question. Game 6 tonight. Is it must-see TV? I feel like it is, but maybe I'm a goofball. We'll turn our attention to the Pistons. They got their press conference coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, sometime before 4. A lot to do today.
I think as far as your game 6 tonight, because it's funny because you would think that the pressure would be on Edmonton, but I don't think that it is.
They're favored tonight, by the way. If you care about any of that, they're -150.
Because Florida is gripping because they don't want game 7 at home after having such the 3-0 lead. And it's like, are we really about to lose this thing? They don't want to be that team. And they thought that they were going to finish it off. Kind of like your Celtics, they're going to finish it off in game 5, except things happen.
Now, the question I had for Kenny, and we can get to it, is just the Connor McDavid issue. Obviously, hard to win the MVP when you lose. I think this is a rare time. If they win tonight but end up losing in 7, I mean, he's just – Kenny, do you feel like he's already elevated himself even without a Stanley Cup into the conversation with the all-time greats, or is the Stanley Cup just, it's got to happen, and it's heresy to just even talk about it?
I don't think it's heresy to talk about. I don't know that I would give it to him. I think if he plays well and they lose tonight, I think he has it. He's putting up record-setting, like Gretzky numbers.
Greatest right postseason ever is what he's on track for. Single point tonight, right?
I think two.
Two.
Okay. I think two ties it. But whatever it is, it's right there on greatest of all time level. And do you know when the last time this happened, when a player lost and won the Conn Smythe?
Let me think for a second.
Because it led to one of the funnier things looking back on it in the history of the league, in my opinion.
Losing Stanley Cup final, but you were still the MVP.
It was in my lifetime. So you're not guessing like 1957.
No, yeah, I'm like, last time the Leafs won anything. No, who?
It was J.S. Jaguar on the Ducks in, I think, 03.
Oh, wow.
Against the Devils.
There's, yeah. There's a Red Wings nightmare fuel goalie.
He swept us in the first round, I believe. And it led to the funniest thing. It's a picture of him holding the trophy with, like, tears coming down his face while the Devils are over there celebrating their cup win. He's like, I don't want this piece of metal.
The meme before the meme.
The participation trophy.
Right, he was the meme before a meme was.
100%. But yeah, I think Connor definitely is in that conversation. He could win it if they lose tonight.
Yeah, and again, I it's a Friday night. I don't know the wisdom in putting a finals game on a Friday night. Didn't understand when the NBA did it last week. Don't like that they waited.
Should've and if there's been. A game seven, it's not over the weekend. It's going to be Monday.
Exactly. So, like, for me, game seven should have been Sunday afternoon matinee television.
Because, see, I thought for the NBA, they set it up for game seven to be either this Saturday or Sunday. Like, if they would have played in Boston, if the Boston would have lost, it would have went Thursday and then Sunday.
There's a hell of a gap, though, for these two teams. And yeah. I know distance is a bit of a problem here. That's a long flight.
It's the largest distance, I believe, in Stanley Cup history.
Yeah.
Between cities. Okay.
Let's go to Josh.
And guy for private flights.
Josh, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, gents. How we doing? Good Friday afternoon.
Same
hey.
To you, buddy. What's on your mind?
Been a while. It's been a while since we talked, Mike. Last time, I think, was Stafford's deal in Detroit, and you shut me down talking hockey. So I heard you were talking it. Wanted to get my 2 cents here in on the Wings.
Let's do it.
Honestly, I agree with if we don't do anything as patient as we've been with Yzerman, we got to get better at goalie. I think this past season the East was weak, but we went in knowing that we had holes at goaltender, so if we would have made the playoffs, I think it would have just been sprinkles on kind of a melting Sunday. But when we look at the future of the NHL, we can't put all the eggs in the young goaltender basket. I've heard us poking at Gibson. I think we need a two-headed beast going into just this modern NHL era. And I think we gotta start holding Yzerman accountable for some of these other lesser performers, like, you know, Kopp, man. I thought he was going to be a top six guy for us, and he fills a role, but I don't think it's big enough for the contract we're paying him. You know what I mean?
No, Josh, I'm with you. I know Kenny's with you, and we're hoping that what he said today is not true. Because, again, we can all be excited about Kosa and even further down the line, maybe Augustine, the kid for State. But we're in the here and now. Right, it's right. Year six, and Lyon and Huso are not good enough to be a playoff team.
Yeah, and where's Burgers at? Why isn't he getting time up? Right? Where's, you know, the big bodies? Where's Soderbaum? You know, where are these guys that have just been – we keep winning and doing well in the AHL, and that's great. But, you know, it's kind of like you guys just talked about the Gerber baby winning the MVP, you know, when this team didn't win the cup. What's winning the AHL, you know, cup if we're still not even making the playoffs at the NHL level?
Yeah, they're in a weird space, Josh. I'm with you. They're just in a very weird spot where, yes, the incremental improvement is nice, but it hasn't yielded us anything. And you can't call the end of last season anything other than a collapse. So this summer, you know, Kenny, not me, Kenny has said this is a fork in the road summer for Yzerman and the Yzer plan and the rebuild. I don't think it's good to just get incrementally better and creep in. Here's the New Yorker in me. I want the Wings to be the team that takes a real step forward, and they're not a wild card.
You want them to kick the door down.
I want them to be a legitimate playoff team. Let all the poors battle for the last spot. I want the Wings in the top three in the division, and I want them to be a legitimate playoff team. Is that so wrong?
No, absolutely not. This offseason has to be handled very carefully because you have to balance, all right, we're bringing up all these young guys. We must supplement that with veteran talent. If you can do that, that's very hard to do. This might be the hardest part of the rebuild for most GMs, and if Steve Yzerman is as sweet as he's been billed to be, you better get it right.
What about Soffenstein?
And you know what, Kenny? I do agree with you. It would have been nice if somebody would. So your coaching situation, is this the guy? Is this going to be the guy that leads your team? Or, you know, were you like, what was your thought process during the season?
I think it's blatantly obvious. If they get off to a slow start, Newsy's gone.
Which then says, just how about you just.
Well,
well, what does that say about Yzerman?
Oh, boy.
I'm not trying to be funny here, but if you're now then firing another coach.
David, the only thing I'll say is, and Kenny pointed this out, it's a hockey thing where they fire the coach.
That is very true.
And then all of a sudden, team goes red hot.
Right.
Same players.
Yeah. Six teams this year, I think, made the playoffs while firing their coach in season.
Yeah.
Just a weird hockey thing. I don't know. David, a few ticket texts. We'll turn our attention to football and then kind of a countdown to Pistons press conference. You get to hear from Gores and Trajan Langdon. I'm eager to see what we get today. Go ahead.
Tom in Traverse City says, Eiserman and Harris want time to build something lasting. Okay, fair enough. Let us know when you're ready and we'll start watching again.
Yeah, you know what? That's okay. Both things can be true. You can have all the time you want, but I think it's unless the games are discounted or free, I really don't know how you keep asking people for money.
By the time the Wings get their team together, they won't be able to give second contracts to their cornerstone pieces. That is from Keith.
I don't want to go that far, but I'll tell you, your spending is going to greatly decrease once you give each of Sider and Raymond an 8x8. I mean, is that that's kind of the going rate, Kenny? Right?
Yeah, especially for Sider, because of position of need. I mean, finding a quality defenseman is so hard to do. So yeah, he's going to get paid.
Right, and it will limit some of your spending. And yes, you do have some young players that don't make a lot. And yes, some deals will fall off. But the reality is you had a couple of your best players dirt cheap for several years. You didn't make the playoffs once. That's problematic.
And this was the time to do it when they were young and cheap. Then you can add because you have all this cap room. He didn't do that.
No. And look, big summer ahead. We hope for the best. I hope he was lying.
So we're going pro here, and what I'm going to do here is SI came out with 100 bold predictions for the 2024 season. So every other day, I'll go through a few of these here to figure out what you all think about them. We'll start with this one. There will be 7 head coaching vacancies at the end of the season, but what they say about it is it may not be the teams you think, because you have Bill Belichick out there, Mike Vrabel out there, and maybe teams that are competitive that fire their coach.
I think both New York teams will have new coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I think Salah and Daboll are on thin ice at best. I think Dallas could have an opening.
I also got to think, I don't know how long Andy Reid is going to be in Kansas City. If they go and win it again, is enough enough? I'm just going
to
go out into the sunset. So that's another team. And I think everybody will line up. If the Chiefs are there with Mahomes under contract, that becomes the best job around. But yeah, David, I could easily see if you're a mediocre team, a team just you made the playoffs, but you struggled or you lost some disappointing style with those big names out there. Yeah, I could easily see that.
Next one, Jaden Daniels will win the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
No, I still think it's Caleb. Look, I'll die on the sword. It's fine. I think Bear's going to be better than people here think. And I think Caleb's entering a really good situation. They've got a ton of weapons. Let's just assume USC was a total joke. The O-line was a joke, and the defense put him in horrible spots. I'll still go Caleb Williams.
See, I'm thinking that I don't think any of the quarterbacks are really going to stand out the way C.J. Stroud did last year. I think it's going to be one of the receivers, because they're going to be that main guy on their
Neighbors,
teams.
Odunze, yeah.
Right. So, like, no matter where you are, it's like, okay, they're going to be throwing you the ball. I think one of those receivers will end up becoming the Offensive Player of the Year, because I don't think that the quarterbacks, they're all kind of the same. I don't think that there's one that's like, yeah, he's all that.
Okay, then, Mike, well, you say Caleb Williams. Well, does this get him Rookie of the Year? Their prediction, he will throw the same number of touchdown passes as a number former rookie that wore 18, which is Peyton Manning. He threw 26 touchdowns his rookie season.
Yeah, I also think it's about the team. Look, if the Bears finish a surprising 9-8, are not in the basement of the NFC North, actually get a couple of nice wins that America sees, and he throws for 26, 27, 28 TDs. Yes, David. Because remember, part of this is bias. Mm-hmm. Like, people see highlights. Like, if Caleb makes a few of those wild, you know, Mahomesian type plays, that goes a long way. Yes, David, short answer, yes. But you got to win some games now, too. You can't go 3-14 and win it.
Yeah, I mean, because they're set up that the Bears have some winnable games to start the season off. Tennessee, the Colts, and the Panthers, all within the first 5 weeks. They go 3-2. I think that means a lot for his confidence, especially
getting the Panthers. Come on, man. That's at home. That's a confidence booster right there.
The Houston Texans will not increase their win total, which was 10 from 2023, and they will miss the playoffs.
The Texans?
Texans,
yes. Nah, I just disagree completely. That's the short answer for me. I get it. It's a bold predictions thing.
Based off their schedule. They have a tough schedule.
Yeah, you know what? Every schedule's tough. It's the NFL. I couldn't disagree.
You know what? There you go.
You're right. Every schedule is tough. This isn't college where you're playing Little Sisters of the Poor. But they also got better in the offseason as well. So it's not like they just sat back and said, we're good enough and we don't need to make improvements. They did. They went out and picked up some players. David, no, I think that they will end up winning their division again.
Deshaun Watson will throw for 32 touchdowns, run for another 10, and the Browns will fight for the number one seed in the AFC.
I'm out. You know, I've waited long enough for Deshaun Watson. I'm out. I don't That's see funny. Those numbers.
No, I was going to say, this is it. This is the year. You had the whole, well, there was rust. Okay, well, maybe you're not quite ready.
Now
this
his shoulders hurt. Right.
If you don't make it this year and do something numbers similar to that, we'll just go ahead and say that the Cleveland Browns signed the worst contract ever in NFL history, and you got to live with that. Because, because the defense is good enough. If he could even put up, David, I was going to say, if he can go 24, 25 touchdowns, I think that they would be competing for the division.
They win, but they win in spite of him.
Yes.
And look, they got better when Flacco took over. It's just, that's the reality.
Three receivers will top 1,800 yards. Their prediction, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I totally agree, because the NFL, as you're seeing, especially with the new tackling rule, that what you can't do with the hip, what is it called, the hip toss or hip grab or whatever?
Oh, the hip drop?
Yeah, hip drop. Yeah. It's a 7-on-7 league. So receivers, and you're seeing that with the amount of money that receivers are making, if you have somebody like that, it's set up for them not to be touched, because that's interference. You can't tackle them. So I could easily see three or maybe even more, David, depending on the circumstance.
The Jets will win the AFC East.
I'll leave that one to Mike.
I don't see it. I just don't. I mean, look what's going on with Rodgers now. I don't love the Bills. I don't love the Dolphins, but I think the Jets are really flawed. And you have a 40-year-old quarterback off a blown Achilles. And is his head really in the game? I don't see it. I'll say no.
Yeah, I would say the Dolphins. The Bills, I think, are going to take a major step back. But the Dolphins should do enough that come December, when they got to play those outdoor games, they can afford to lose some of them and still win the division.
This is based on their schedule, because the back end of their schedule is very favorable. It says the Cardinals will post an 8-game winning streak from October to mid-December to make the playoffs.
I say no on principle. Winning 8 games That's in a crazy. Row in the National Football League is insane. Yeah. Could they be better than people give them credit for? Yes. Not sold the Rams, keep it going. Obviously, San Francisco's good, but not without questions. But Kyler Murray kind of reclaimed his career a little bit. If Marvin Harrison is really, you know, Jamar Chase or Odell Beckham Jr., and he just steps in as a force.
So their final 8 games, they're saying?
Till mid-December, so I think their final 2 games they will lose. But okay. Up until there, they'll win 8.
So Bears, Jets, Seahawks, Vikings, Seahawks, Patriots, Panthers. No, I don't see. Now, here's the thing. As Mike said, the Arizona Cardinals are what the Lions used to be. They will beat you in a game for 3.5 quarters, and then they find a way to lose it. So, you know, when you see like, wow, the Cardinals are winning at halftime, put a money line on the opposition, because they're going to win the game. They may not cover, but they will win, and you'll get great numbers. That's just the Cardinals. So to win 8 in a row, David, no, because they find a way to Cardinal. They just do. They find ways to lose games.
Then I'll close it out with this one. Aaron Donald will unretire and join the Rams for a playoff run.
Never thought of that. You know what?
I'll say yes if the Rams are indeed in the playoffs. I think if they're like in the hunt and they're not necessarily in, but if they have a nice little cushion and are one of the haves, I could see them opening up the dialogue. Now, I don't know how badly. He doesn't seem like an attention type of person where, you know, I just won't go away and just, you know. He seems like the type that, you know what, I said I'm done. I've got my rings. I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. But I can see the Rams opening up saying, hey, you know you always got a spot here.
Yeah, I'm just never going to predict a guy to come off the street and come back unless it's Brady. So I'm out on that. Yeah,
worked for the Browns last year.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
And that is in football today. So we're going pro here, and what I'm going to do here is SI came out with 100 bowl predictions for the 2024 season. So every other day, I'll go through a few of these here to figure out what you all think about them. We'll start with this one. There will be 7 head coaching vacancies at the end of the season, but what they say about it is it may not be the teams you think, because you have Bill Belichick out there, Mike Vrabel out there, mm-hmm. and maybe teams that are competitive that fire their coach.
I think both New York teams will have new coaches. Mm-hmm. I think Saleh and Daboll are on thin ice at best. I think Dallas could have an opening.
I also got to think, I don't know how long Andy Reid is going to be in Kansas City. If they go and win it again, is enough enough? I'm just going
to
go out into the sunset. So that's another team. And I think everybody will line up. If the Chiefs are there with Mahomes under contract, that becomes the best job around. But yeah, David, I could easily see if you're a mediocre team, a team just you made the playoffs, but you struggled or you lost some disappointing style with those big names out there. Yeah, I could easily see that.
Next one, Jaden Daniels will win the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
No. No, I still think it's Caleb. Look, I'll die on the sword. It's fine. I think Bear's going to be better than people here think. And I think Caleb's entering a really good situation. They've got a ton of weapons. Let's just assume USC was a total joke. The O-line was a joke, and the defense put him in horrible spots. I'll still go Caleb Williams.
See, I'm thinking that I don't think any of the quarterbacks are really going to stand out the way C.J. Stroud did last year. I think it's going to be one of the receivers, because they're going to be that main guy on their teams.
Adunze, yeah.
Right. So, like, no matter where you are, it's like, okay, they're going to be throwing you the ball. I think one of those receivers will end up becoming the offensive player of the year, because I don't think that the quarterbacks, they're all kind of the same. I don't think that there's one that's like, yeah, he's all that.
Okay, then, Mike, well, you say Caleb Williams. Well, does this get him Rookie of the Year? Their prediction, he will throw the same number of touchdown passes as a number former rookie that wore 18, which is Peyton Manning. He threw 26 touchdowns his rookie season.
Yeah, I also think it's about the team. Look, if the Bears finish a surprising 9-8, are not in the basement of the NFC North, actually get a couple of nice wins that America sees, and he throws for 26, 27, 28 TDs, yes, David. Because remember, part of this is bias. Mm-hmm. Like, people see highlights. Like, if Caleb makes a few of those wild, you know, Mahomesian-type plays, that goes a long way. Yes, David, short answer, yes. But you got to win some games now, too. You can't go 3-14 and win it.
Yeah, I mean, because they're set up that the Bears have some winnable games to start the season off. Tennessee, the Colts, and the Panthers, all within the first 5 weeks. They go 3-2. I think that means a lot for his confidence, especially getting the Panthers. Come on, man. That's at home. That's a confidence booster right there.
The Houston Texans will not increase their win total, which was 10 from 2023, and they will miss the playoffs.
The Texans?
Texans,
yeah. I just disagree completely. That's the short answer for me. I get it. It's a bold predictions thing.
Based off their schedule. They have a tough schedule.
Yeah, you know what? Every schedule is tough. It's the NFL. I couldn't disagree.
You know what? There you go.
You're right.
Every schedule is tough. This isn't college where you're playing Little Sisters of the Poor. Huh. But they also got better in the offseason as well. So it's not like they just sat back and said, we're good enough and we don't need to make improvements. They did. They went out and picked up some players. David, no, I think that they will end up winning their division again.
Deshaun Watson will throw for 32 touchdowns, run for another 10, and the Browns will fight for the number one seed in the AFC.
I'm out. You know, I've waited long enough for Deshaun Watson. I'm out. I don't That's see funny. Those numbers.
No, I was going to say, this is it. This is the year. You had the whole, well, there was rust. Okay, well, maybe you're not quite ready.
Now
this
his shoulders hurt. Right.
If you don't make it this year and do something numbers similar to that, we'll just go ahead and say that the Cleveland Browns signed the worst contract ever in NFL history, and you got to live with that because the defense is good enough. If he could even put up, David, I was going to say, if he can go 24, 25 touchdowns, I think that they would be competing for the division.
They win, but they win in spite of him.
Yes.
And look, they got better when Flacco took over. It's just, that's the reality.
Three receivers will top 1,800 yards. Their prediction, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I totally agree because the NFL, as you're saying, especially with the new tackling rule that you can't do with the hip, what is it called? The hip toss or hip grab or whatever.
Oh, the hip drop.
It's a 7-on-7 league. So receivers, and you're seeing that with the amount of money that receivers are making. If you have somebody like that, it's set up for them not to be touched because that's interference. You can't tackle them. So I could easily see three or maybe even more, David, depending on the circumstance.
The Jets will win the AFC East.
I'll leave that one to Mike.
I don't see it. I just don't. I mean, look what's going on with Rodgers now. I don't love the Bills. I don't love the Dolphins, but I think the Jets are really flawed. And you have a 40-year-old quarterback off a blown Achilles. And is his head really in the game? I don't see it. I'll say no.
Yeah, I would say the Dolphins. The Bills, I think, are going to take a major step back. But the Dolphins should do enough that come December when they got to play those outdoor games, they can afford to lose some of them and still win the division.
This is based on their schedule because the back end of their schedule is very favorable. It says the Cardinals will post an 8-game winning streak from October to mid-December to make the playoffs.
I say no on principle. Winning 8 games That's in a crazy. Row in the National Football League is insane. Yeah. Could they be better than people give them credit for? Yes. Not sold the Rams, keep it going. Obviously, San Francisco's good, but not without questions. But Kyler Murray kind of reclaimed his career a little bit. If Marvin Harrison is really, you know, Jamar Chase or Odell Beckham Jr., and he just steps in as a force.
So their final 8 games, they're saying?
Till mid-December, so I think their final 2 games they will lose. But up until there, they'll win 8.
So Bears, Jets, Seahawks, Vikings, Seahawks, Patriots, Panthers. No, I don't see. Now, here's the thing. As Mike said, the Arizona Cardinals are what the Lions used to be. They will beat you in a game for 3.5 quarters, and then they find a way to lose it. So, you know, when you see like, wow, the Cardinals are winning at halftime, put a money line on the opposition because they're going to win the game. They may not cover, but they will win. And you'll get great numbers. That's just the Cardinals. So to win 8 in a row, David, no, because they find a way to Cardinal. They just do. They find ways to lose games.
Then I'll close it out with this one. Aaron Donald will unretire and join the Rams for a playoff run.
Never thought of that. You know what? I'll say yes if the Rams are indeed in the playoffs. I think if they're like in the hunt and they're not necessarily in, but if they have a nice little cushion and are one of the halves, I could see them opening up the dialogue. Now, I don't know how badly. He doesn't seem like an attention type of person where, you know, I just won't go away and just, you know. He seems like the type that, you know what, I said I'm done. I've got my rings. I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. But I can see the Rams opening up saying, hey, you know you always got a spot here.
Yeah, I'm just never going to predict a guy to come off the street and come back unless it's Brady. So I'm out on that. Yeah,
worked for the Browns last year.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
And that is In Football Today.